if you were with us last Sunday morning, we were back here. We were here. We were in John chapter 12 and the triumphal entry. We were at Palm Sunday. We were here. Okay? And it was a great celebration. And there is a part in the scripture that says, well, if the people didn't wave the palms as Jesus entered, then the street paving slabs would have shouted out, "Hallelujah! He's coming! Yeah, great!" And they expected this great triumphant king to come in, right? And what was he going to do? What were they expecting him to do? They were expecting him to finish off the Roman Empire and do away with the rule and rule the kingdom. That's what most of the people expected. And that was Palm Sunday. And that was 7 days ago. Oh, gosh. And this morning, we are in John chapter 20. 8 chapters go from here to here. 8 chapters. What happened? What happened? What happened in that week? Okay, it's Passover, which is a big celebration of when the Lord came over the children of Israel when they were captives back in Egypt, and they want to get out. And he said, right, sacrifice a lamb, put it on the doorpost, and the angel of death will go over you, and it won't hurt any of you. But all of the Egyptian children were killed. And in the end, Pharaoh said, let them go. And they came out. And they still celebrate that. And that's what they celebrate. And that's what they got together. And then Jesus gets with them in the upper room to celebrate. And then he gets a bowl. He takes off his shirt and he wraps it around his waist. And he says, take off your shoe. Take off your shoe. Because what I'm going to do is, I'm going to wash your feet. Because that was part of the ceremony that had to be done. And then he's going to dry your feet. And all the dust and the sand will be off of your feet. And they're going, Lord, you can't do that. That's not possible. I'm doing this to a chiropodist. <You're so lucky. laughs> But that's what he did. And he gets to Peter, and Peter goes, no, you can't do that, Lord. And he goes, unless I wash your feet, you can't be part of what I'm going to do. And then Peter goes, oh, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my head, wash me all. And the Lord goes, you're already clean. I just need to wash your feet. That's all. That ends up being one chapter. And there's a bit more that goes on in that chapter. And then they spend time around the table. And when they're around the table, the Lord goes, I'm going to give you some bread. And he takes some bread and he blesses it. And he says, take this. And he dips it in a bowl and gives it to them and said, this is my body that is broken for you. And they take the bread and they eat it. And then likewise, after the meal, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood which is shed for you. Drink this. And they do that. Jesus knows all the way through what he's doing. He knew when he came in on the donkey what he was doing. He knew what he was doing when he washed the feet. And he knew what he was saying. when he set up this institution of what we call Holy Communion. And communion, and it's just bread and wine, or Ribena, or grape juice. That's all it is. And we partake of that. And he gave that to the disciples. We've had the Passover meal, and he talks to them about him being the vine and staying in the vine. And I am the vine, you are the branches. And he teaches them about this and about being part. And if you're not part of me, the vine gets cut off and thrown away and burned. And he says, stay in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. You'll bear fruit. You'll bear fruit. I have the privilege of walking around a vineyard and working on. And it is amazing to see how they grow. On 14 acres and 14,000 vines. I don't like grapes. I don't like wine. But it's amazing to see how it grows. And you can see, because that's what they were walking past. And that's what they were seeing. And they understood that. And Jesus talks to them in that manner. And then he tells them about he's going to be with the Father. And as I go to be with the Father, I'm going to give you something else. And it's going to come. And it's going to be an advocate. And it's going to be part of me and part of the Father. And Philip and Thomas go, we don't understand. What are you saying? How can we see the Father? Well, if you see me, you see the Father. If you see me, you see my dad. There are some mannerisms that I've got that are the same as my dad. You've got some mannerisms that are the same as your mum or your dad. And we see your parents in you. Oh, what a dreadful thought, isn't it? Shake and quiver. No. But we do. And Jesus says, you see the Father because you've seen me. And it's just exactly the same for us. He goes on some more to predict about that Peter's going to deny him. He goes, no, I'm going to stand with you. I'll be with you. I'll die with you. I'm ready to die with you. Right, you're not, boy. You're going to let me down 3 times before the cock crows. And then one of you is going to betray me. One of you that I've shared this with is going to betray me. Go and do that. Go now. And Judas goes. And because he was the treasurer, they thought he was going off to pay for the room. And they hadn't got a clue. So he goes. Jesus goes out into the Mount of Olives. And he goes and prays. And he says, Father, oh, will you take this cup from me, really? I don't know if I can go through with this. I don't know if I can do this. And he goes back and the disciples are asleep and says, can't you stick with me for a little while? And he goes, no, I can't. No, they're tired, you know. And he prays and he sweats drops of blood because he knows what he's going to face. Then they come and arrest him. And Judas comes and kisses him. And he goes. And then they bring him before Pilate. And he says, well, I can't find anything wrong with him. And they go, well, yeah, but he said he's the king of the Jews and he's blasphemed and he's all of this and it's not right. And actually, he's causing a revolution against Caesar. And they go, no. And well, anyway, they go crucify him. And then they mock him. They flog him. They put a crown of thorns on his head and he bleeds. And they take him out to Golgotha. And they put him on a cross. They don't tie him to a cross. They nail him to it. Do you cut your hand in the middle of your palm? Do you graze your foot? Well, they actually nailed right through the palm of his hands and nailed through his feet together. And he's on the cross. And he sheds blood and blood drops. They don't break his body, a bone in his body. Normally, to help death come quickly, they break their legs so they can drop and they suffocate and blood forms in their lungs and they drop. But when they came to do that to Jesus, he was already gone. And we've studied this week the words that he says on the cross. Father, forgive them for they know what they do. it comes to the Sabbath, virtually almost the Sabbath, and a very wealthy guy named Joseph of Arimathea, goes to Pilate and says, "Can I have his body? Can I have his body?" And Pilate says, "Yeah." And he was very quiet about what he said because he was quite high up and very, very wealthy. And they used to cut in the limestone, in the rock, they cut the graves out of the limestone. And they were quite plush graves that only the very wealthy would be able to bury. And so they take his body down from the cross and they take it away. And Nicodemus, who used to go to Jesus at night, because once again he was frightened to be with Jesus during the day, and they take Jesus' body down and they wrap him in the clothes and they spend about £75 now, right then, on special spices and perfumes, and they wrap Jesus up and they lay him in this tomb and they roll the stone there. Seven days. What have you done in the last 7 days? What have I done in the last 7 days? That's what happened in the disciples of Jesus' life in the last 7 days. And when we were all celebrating Palm Sunday last Sunday morning, to now. When we get to now, Mary Magdalene goes early in the morning and it's still dark and she wanted to still go and prepare. What was Mary Magdalene? One of Jesus' followers. Not his mother, but one of his followers. And she gets there, and he's empty. He's not there. He's not where she expected him to be. She legs it back, and she finds Peter and John. You ever tried running in sandals? We wear trainers. Or barefoot. They leg it back. And they get to the tomb as we saw in the video. And John gets here. But Peter catches him up. And Peter, being the impetuous person he does, goes straight in. He's not here. He's empty. He's not here. John comes in and sees he's not here. And what did Erskine say? They went back home not knowing what to do. They leave. Where has he gone? Where has he gone? They go back to the room. They lock the door. And they meet there with the 10 of them. 11 of them. They're missing one. And they meet. And they close the door and they lock the door. Mary Magdalene goes back. Why did the disciples feel like they did? They felt frightened. I felt fear. I felt disappointment. I didn't understand. I was confused. All natural feelings. Because now something was going to be very different. Something was going to be very new. How do we cope with new situations? Why didn't they get it? Well, it's easy for us to say because we've got the rest of the scriptures and we know the outcome. They didn't know the outcome. They hadn't got a clue. Yes, they've heard all of this teaching during this week, and if we'd have been sat there and we'd have heard all of the teaching, how much of it would we have grasped? When it was all going to be brand new. It was all going to be brand new. They didn't get it. And sometimes we give them a hard ride because we know the outcome. We can read the rest of 20. We can read 21. We can go into Acts and we can look at all the rest of the stuff. The Paul's letters for all of that. But 2,000 years ago, these guys were frightened, were scared and didn't know. So they went and locked themselves away. Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene has gone back. And she goes into the tomb and there are two angels sitting there. And the grave clothes are folded up. And she's gone. It's not here. And she's got outside and she's wet. And she's talking to somebody. It's the middle bit in between the readings that Erskine has brought to us. And she cries. And Jesus is standing there and she thinks he's the gardener. And she says, well, tell me, do you know where they've taken him? Do you know where they've taken him? And he just says, Mary. And she knew that voice. See, Jesus actually, back in Luke, had actually released demons out of Mary. They'd let them go. She was demon-possessed. She was free. She then travelled with the disciples and Jesus. From then on, she knew what it meant. He was really important to her. And she gives him a hug and he goes, no, you can't do that. Hang on. I haven't yet gone back to the Father. I'm still in physical form, but I haven't gone back to the Father. Look, will you go back and tell the disciples? Will you go back and tell the disciples? What is he doing here? He's asking a woman to go. I'm not being sexist, but 2,000 years ago, he's asking a woman to go back and tell the disciples that he is alive. She would not have even been able to give evidence in a court. That's how valued women were. You think where women have come in this country in the last 100 years, okay, and you didn't have the vote and all of that, and we go, yeah. Mary Magdalene was worthless. And Jesus is going, will you go and tell the disciples that I am no longer in there, I am risen. How different is that? Hey? She races back, goes and finds the disciples. Whoa, gets in there. He's risen. He's alive. What? Well, yeah, but if grave robbers had taken him, they would have taken the burial clothes because they would have been worth a lot of money. But they didn't. They were neatly folded up there. So it's not grave robbers that have taken his body. He has risen. And the disciples are in their room. And he walks in and he comes into them. And he stands in their midst. And he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. The greeting that they would always share. Peace be with you. What does he say? Peace be with you. And they're like, go. Oh, what has just happened? Talk about your heart rating. Nick's pacemaker on this. Which side's your pacemaker? That side. I mean, to get his. Even if we haven't got one of them, we're going. Aren't we? You know, what is happening? He's here. He's alive. What are their feelings? Still. They're still in that room before he gets there. And then when he gets there, well, where have you gone? Where have you been? This was working. Why did we have to go through all of that? You were teaching people. You were healing people. We were traveling. You were teaching us. Why did that have to finish? Why has it got to change? This was working. Why did you have to do all of that? What? We don't understand. And he's going, I need, like I told you earlier in the week, I need to go to the Father. My job is done. What I'm going to do to you now is, I'm going to breathe on you, and you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them, and gave them the Holy Spirit. It starts. On May the 20th, we're going to celebrate Pentecost. And when the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples, and they go out, and they leap out, and off they go. And they go out, and 3,500 people come to understand what Jesus has done on that day. But this isn't that day. This is the first time that they're meeting together. And he walks in. And he's there. And he goes, look, here's my hands, here's my side. I'm not, you know, it's not a piece of air. He's Jesus. He eats. He has some boiled fish and some bread. He eats. But what has he done? He's breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because what I told you about when I've gone will be with you from now on. It starts. The basis of our faith starts. They were the same as you and me. There was no plan B. It was these guys. It was these guys. They didn't understand. And at times, we don't understand. There's no plan B. We are plan A. We are plan A. You are plan A. What God wants to do in your life, in us corporately, as a fellowship, we are plan A. We are not plan B. He says to them, you need to forgive others. What does he say? What does he say? If you trust in me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when I see you and you see me, you are seeking the one who sent me. No. What happened if I go to 20? That would be better. 23. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and received the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Why is he saying that? He's sending them, but he says you need to forgive people's sins. Who do they need to forgive? I've been sitting in the room. I've worked out what Judas has done. They've worked out that Judas has gone and hung himself. They've worked out that Judas betrayed him. What was their feelings? What did they do? They could have stayed very angry and very bitter and very feeling of hurt. And that would have frozen them. They wouldn't have moved forward. They'd have been stuck. Sometimes that's what it's like for us. If we don't forgive people, we get stuck. We get frozen. We won't be able to move forward. they had to forgive not only Judas and Pilate and the Romans and the high priest and the crowd because of what they did. Because that they crucified him. Jesus was asking them to forgive him, to move forward, because he was going to be sending them out. When we give our lives and we say to Jesus, will you come into my life? Will you forgive me for what I've done? We also need to say, will you forgive those that have done things against me? We even say that in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us this day our daily bread. Forgive those that have trespassed against us. Jesus even said it on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's breathed on them. Oh, well, it's happened. He's been able to do that because he did not stay in the grave. And as we sung earlier on, his body did not decay. One day, that will happen to me. My body will decay. I will die. That's a fact of life. And, yeah. Yeah, it will come to an end. I will then spend eternity with God because of what Jesus has done. You see, when Jesus died, this curtain that was in the temple that separated the people from God, right, and only the high priest could go in there, when he died, that split in two. And that gave us straight access back to God. That is what that and that is all about. That we can go to God the Father. We've been able to pray to God the Father this morning, not because he is remote, but because Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave. And that split in two. No longer could only one man for the whole nation go into that chamber and do sacrifices and speak to God and bring the nation's petition. You and me can talk to God. That and that is what it's about. That's why we go, yes, it starts now. If that didn't happen, and that didn't happen, we wouldn't be able to get back to God. We've now got communion with God. But not only with God, we've got communion through Jesus Christ. And then what else he said? He said, I leave you the Holy Spirit. And I leave you the Holy Spirit because now, later on, I ascend to the Father. Jesus is with the Father. He's not here. The Holy Spirit is with us here. They are three in one. And I'm afraid you can't have one without the other. Okay? If you've got a brother or a sister, right, three of you, my sister and my brother, come from my mum and dad. Okay, there are three of us. If I was the only child, there would only be me. But Jesus is part of the Father, and so is the Holy Spirit. So if we have God, we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. If we have Jesus, we have God, we have the Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus and God. It's the only way. And he's breathed on them. And they've gone, wow, what was that? Thomas wasn't with them that day. And he leaves them. It's 8 days before he comes back to them. 8 days. Next Sunday when we meet, Jesus walks back into the middle of the room. But this time, they are together with the Holy Spirit. They are together because of this. If this didn't happen, and he stayed absolutely natural like you and me, we wouldn't have the basis of our faith. But that is the basis of what the morning is about, that he rose. He then didn't stay on his own, then went and found the guys that he needed to be dealing with. And 2,000 years on, you and me are those guys. Right now. And what we do with him has an impact on the people we meet. Which means that takes us out of our comfort zone. And that is not always easy. And some things we don't understand. And some things we don't get. Which means we're just like them. Because they didn't get this. They didn't get that. They didn't get this. They certainly didn't get or understand and were frightened what was going to happen at crucifixion. And some of it, and you might think, well, I'm not ready for all of that. Well, God says, you are. I'm going to work with you. I want to be part of you. I want to spend time with you. I want you to spend time with me. For that to start to happen, you have to say, Jesus, will you forgive me for what I've done? I'm sorry. Will you come into my life and help me sort me out? Today, I actually started existence. And yet, in two things I started existence. I was born. And yet, I have the joy of being reborn because of accepting what that and that means in my life. And it is, whoa, I don't always get it right. I don't always get it right. Quite often get it wrong. And I have to go back to him and say, sorry, can you say that again? I haven't quite understood that. And lots of you are exactly the same. And it's really important. And we share. And we try and study. And we try and get more Christ-like. But we have the Holy Spirit in us. Empowering us. Helping us. Blessing us. Taking on what we do. That is Easter Day. That is what resurrection means. We can have that. We can be part of that. Oh, it's exciting. Don't know where it'll take us. Don't know where it'll take me. But that's part of what God's saying. Just have a few moments of quiet reflectiveness yourself, where you work out yourself, where you feel that is with you. You still may have questions. You may go, okay, I don't quite fully understand that yet, and I want to think a bit more about that, and I want to talk to someone a bit more about that. Well, talk to Phil sitting over there, talk to Margaret sitting in the back, talk to who's sitting alongside you. Talk to me. Talk to someone else. If you think, yeah, okay. I've got part of the way along that. I'm not quite sure what's happening there. Then talk to God about that. You can just have a conversation with him. Just like having a conversation with whoever's sitting alongside you. It's that easy. He will hear you. Let's just have a few moments of quietness where we each, come back before we go.